Luke chapter 6, and I enjoyed this first part of this week, actually the whole week, but especially the first part, and that was our revival. It was well attended each night, and I thank you for making that faithful effort of supporting that and supporting our evangelist, Brother Phil Skipper. He did a wonderful job, and I know there are several, if not more than several, that watched online due to work or whatever have you, and I thank you for that, but he did a good job preaching to us, and his theme seemed to be the theme of the message, dealing with the lost and our responsibility, working with what God has given us, the gospel, the good news, to share to the lost, to be a light to the lost. I want to, out of Luke chapter 6, if I may, if the Lord allows, to look at a hindrance of not sharing the gospel, or a hindrance that can get in the way with our lives and what we have going on, that can take precedence and hinder us from sharing the gospel, or at least having a heart or a burden for lost people. And I've entitled this morning, The Dangers of Hypocrisy. The Dangers of Hypocrisy in Luke chapter 6. And Luke chapter 6 is a portion of Scripture. It's a famous portion of Scripture. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And you'll find parallel passages in Matthew and Mark dealing with these types of parables or sayings that the Lord used in this sermon. And so we see, I want to read verses 39 through 42, Luke chapter 6. But if you back up 37, I probably won't make much application than maybe a thought on verse 30, 37 and 38. But let's get started, and I want to preach just a few moments on the dangers of hypocrisy. Luke chapter 6, if you found your place, look with me in verse number 37. Scripture says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." And he says in verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Kind of like a truth saying as God lays it out. This is Christ laying a truth out about having a heart or a motive of giving. And that can be given in a number of different ways, all right? Whatever your mind or your heart lands on automatically. Mine's money. It might be time. It might be talent. It might be a number of things that the Holy Spirit will use. But here, this is truth. Now look at verse 39, and we'll begin to make our application. And the Bible says in verse 39, "And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind?" Question number one. Question number two, shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Neither how canst thou say to thy brother, "Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye," and when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. And Father, we ask that your hand be upon your message, this message here. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that this message would have a lodging place in our hearts and in our lives. Father, that we would not be hindered or distracted or fall into the danger that you have laid out here, the danger of being pride and, Father, being self-willed or maybe even spiritual blind to the fact, the need, Father, that your will is that none perish, and, Father, that we be willing and have the heart to share your gospel, your truth, salvation with the lost. Be with our hearts, be with those that have come out. Father, I do pray if there be one here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that has never asked you to save them, come into their heart. I pray that this morning, today, would be that time, that hour. Be with their heart and allow the Holy Spirit to work and use your word and use your way. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. As I said earlier, Luke here, we're towards the tail end of this message. There'll be a couple more applications that we will gather from Luke chapter 6, but in Luke's final selection of the Sermon on the Mount, it deals with Christ's warning against error and false teachers. That's actually the premise or the context in what he's talking about or teaching. There were Pharisees and Sadducees and those that were there that by all practical purposes should be at the feet of Jesus learning, but they weren't. They were busy about questioning what the Lord was saying. And so we see here the warning or the dangers, the wide path of false teachers is being chosen by preachers of today and today, today's age. And it has been from the cross. Amen. Even before the cross, in the old times, in the old days, you would have people who called themselves to be prophets, but they were not called of God. And so God gave a litany test there to his people to say, look, this is how you prove whether a prophet is from me or is of himself. And so here we see today, we really don't like, oh, we can't question anybody that says they're from God. Why not? The Bible tells the Christian and instructs the Christian that you should try the spirits, whether they be of God. And so here, Christ knew who he was dealing with. And so we kind of get this parable dealing with hypocrisy. And I want to break this down. There are three truths here that we will look at this morning. But let me say this about our country. Let me say this. Our country needs preachers who will proclaim the narrow truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not things, not ideals, not programs, but preach the Word of God, the death, burial, and resurrection, and not add anything to it or take anything from it. And so it's important that Christ here, he's doing that, and he's leveling with these false teachers. And we see if you begin to read this chapter, you'll find a couple of things. You'll see a danger, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. But you'll also, if you read on, you will see a delight in real fruit. And we'll look at that, Lord willing, verse 43 and on next week, next Sunday morning. And then you'll also find a duty of a true disciple. And that is on down in verse 46 down to verse 49. Lord willing, we'll be preaching on that coming in two Sundays if the Lord doesn't come back between now. I hope he does. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at verse 39, and I want to look at this first point dealing with the dangers of hypocrisy. You see, the world is comfortable with that word. It's also comfortable with the definition to that word. It's the Christian, it's the child of God who has chosen to walk astray or not to line up with God or has chosen in themselves not to see truth or to use truth. Now, they'll be associated with truth. They like to rub up against it, but they choose not to use it themselves, and they choose not to live in it or to share it. And so you'll find here something about, I'm going to call this individual a hypocrite, and it's pretty easy. You know, there's a little hypocrisy in all of us this morning. If we be honest with ourselves, honest before God and his word, there's some hypocrisy in parts of our life, and we want to make sure that we nail it, we know where it's at, and that we identify and move from it. But here, notice, number one, verse 39, what he says, and he says, and he spake a parable unto them, and he says, can the blind lead the blind, and shall they not both fall into the ditch? I notice here that the first thing that is brought up with this type of thinking, this type of setting, this mindset is a blindness. Hypocrites, I'm going to say, are blind. Number one, a hypocritical person is blind to some truths. He's not only going to be blind to some truths, but he is going to have a willful blindness. A willful blindness speaks of having the ability to learn, having the ability to grasp or be able to contain or obtain, I should say, but not choosing to, making the choice not to. Listen, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian here this morning, and you know that God has saved your soul, you know that you're headed to heaven if God were to call your number today, and you know your home would be in heaven, but yet you still refuse to see or sense the burden of somebody else that doesn't know about Christ, that takes willful, that takes a choice. You make a choice willfully not to use or to share the scriptures or the gospel with somebody. The first thing we find is this blindness. Hypocrites are blind. Now, through scripture, blindness is used as a metaphor a lot throughout the Bible to picture people who are without the truth or lack the capacity to understand spiritual truth. If you have your Bible now, I mentioned Matthew, but I'm not going to go to the parallel in Matthew chapter 7, but I want to go to Matthew chapter 23 and grab a principle here dealing with blindness. Matthew chapter 23, there are a few verses here. I want to make this point that a hypocritical or a hypocrite, hypocrites are blind. This morning, I pray that you're not in this category of being blind or having a willful blindness. Matthew chapter 23, notice what Scripture says in verse 13. Matthew chapter 23 in verse 13, it says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," notice with the word there, "hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men." You say, what are they being? Christ was calling them out. The Pharisees seemed to have this situation of being able to shut up the kingdom of heaven to the regular people. Well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. You can't be doing this, you can't be doing that. Then you can see the kingdom of heaven. And they begin to be, if you please, the gatekeeper and exacting out what they thought God wanted people to do or not do. That sounds a lot like religion to me. Amen. Doesn't religion have that flavor or that sound to it? And you want to be mindful of that. Now notice what he goes on to say. We've seen verse 13. Notice with me verse 25. Let's read a few verses here. He begins to address this. And notice verse 25 in the same chapter, Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, for within they are full of extortion and excess." Wow, okay, verse 26. "The blind Pharisee cleanse first that which is," he says, "that which is within the cup and platter, but the outside of them may be clean also." Verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," he says again, "hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness." Now watch verse 28. And he says here, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men." Notice the application. And he goes on, "But within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." You say, what are you saying? I'm saying simply the Bible's declaring it that these type of individuals, they're blind. They're a willful blindness. And Matthew speaks of it. Mark speaks of it. The whole Bible will speak of this, and it's a falseness. To be willfully blind is not a good position to have. It's not a successful position to have, and it's certainly not a spiritual position to have as a child of God. Say, well, I like right where I'm at. A little blindness, a little truth, a little light, a little black. Look, that is contrary to God. You've heard me use the term that is antichrist. And we shouldn't be about the danger of being a hypocrite in the sense of being blind to things that we should have our eyes open to. And one of those is definitely the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing that. The Bible says this about our latter times, the days that you and I live in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "But men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And so here this fits the category of the hypocrites that are blind. They have a problem. The first problem, the first danger of being hypocritical is blindness. Now, there's two blindnesses I want to show. The first one is kind of a willful blindness. That is impeding or imposing on ourself to be self-blind, willfully self-blind. I don't want to know truth. I've dealt and talked with Christians who were saved. You talk about a Bible and you say, well, let me show this from the Bible. I don't want to see the Bible. Shut the Bible. I don't want to see that. I've heard him say this, if it says that, I don't believe it. You're like, my goodness, a saved person, a saved person. You say, are they saved? That's not for me to really actually judge. I take them at a statement of faith that they are saved. You can look at fruit if you want, but willfully blindness, we all have some hypocrisy in our life. But when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to having a position of being willfully blind, that's not a position you want to have. Not a position you want to have. You want to forsake that position. Well, I spoke of two blindnesses. The first one is a willful blindness. And hypocrites, a hypocritical person, is blind, is willfully blind. They choose to be blind. But there's another type of blindness. If you would take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We mentioned this quite a bit. You might even know or have the verse memorized. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 speaks of another blindness that is used. And I believe the hypocrites have a part in this. They don't care if Satan has blinded the minds of those that would believe. Let me say that again. A hypocrite, and I'm in the context of saved, all right? So a hypocrite is somebody who does not care if Satan has blinded the minds of those that which would believe. Look at the verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, as the instruction goes on and begins to deal with, if you please, in the first part of this chapter here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a negative truths about the ministry. And you can pick it up if we were to read. For the sake of time, I won't, but verse 1 on down. But I want verse number 4. Notice what Scripture or God's Word says, in whom the God of this world. Don't ever think for a moment that Satan's position right now is he is the God of this world. He's going to explain this here. He said, well, God created, God owns it. I understand that. But right now, according to the fall, sin's nature, the condemnation of man, Satan, it's in his possession. That's why you have all the wickedness. That's why you have all the sin. That's why you have all the debauchery. That's why it's a struggle to maintain or keep or to have a Christian nation, because there are forces that fight against it daily, moment by moment, minute by minute. In verse 4, it says, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see, secondly, the second part of blindness is a spiritual blindness, a blindness of God's light. You know, this morning, if there's somebody, more than likely somebody in this auditorium that has never accepted Jesus Christ, their spiritual eyes are not open. The only light that they're getting is what is being read here or being proclaimed from God's Word. That's the only light in the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit begins to woo, and it says, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation, he begins to work in that heart. If that heart is willfully hardened, it could be a number of situations that could have a heart hardened. Naturally, it's hardened to the gospel. Naturally, there is a natural offense to the death, burial, and resurrection of the cross. Jesus, the only way to heaven, that just rubs our culture wrong and has for about 50 years, maybe further back than that. You say, what is going on? It's not my plan. It's God's plan. It's a good plan. It's a great plan. I preach it, but it was not my plan that there's only one way to heaven. That was God's plan, and that plan came through the death of his son, Jesus Christ. So this blindness, we have this willful blindness, then we have this blindness of God's light. That comes from Satan. Let me say this, Satan is the one who tries to blind the eyes of those seeking to know the truth about eternal life. You see, anything that is half truth or a whole truth, or half a lie, a whole lie, Satan's involved in. Anything to keep that individual in darkness, he's for. Whether it's to give you a hard heart towards lost souls, to give you a hard heart towards reading or praying or coming to church or being a blessing to somebody in the community or somebody you work with, he'll do it. And he'll use your heart and my heart to work against somebody to see the light of the gospel. So I'm saying a hypocrite. So, man, I thought you was going to preach on a real. This is a real hypocrite right here. Hypocrites are blind to the fact that there's a need for the lost and dying world. So I could put this application a little closer to us this morning before we go to our second point. Do you have a heart for lost souls? Well, let's move on. Let's look at verse 40. Let's go back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, look at verse 40 if you would with me, and we'll see something else about a hypocrite. And remember, let's keep our text, our context here. Jesus is speaking to those that were not there to learn from God. They were not there to learn from Jesus. They did not believe that Jesus Christ was God. And so they definitely were not receiving the teaching of Christ. But notice with me verse 40 and what it says here. He makes this statement. He says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You say, what is he saying? That sounds confusing. It's not, if you look at it, the disciple. That's somebody that is wanting to learn. That is the student, if you please. That is a position. He's describing a position of learning, one willing to learn. The disciple is not above his master. You ever get around, maybe you were a teacher or have a position in that. I have been blessed several times in my life to be in that position, and you'll find it. So you'll run across a student. Here's what I want to say is get to the point where they think they're the teacher and you're the student. And you're like, man, now this is a little upside down here. you're the one in grade school. You're the one going through elementary math. And you're asking me the math question. Now you're trying to teach me my multiplications. Now, hang on here. Let's back up here. Do you need help? I need help. It's the same way in our life. Listen, our master is God. Our master is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our master, our go book, is the Word of God. And so I'm not on board with somebody questioning the Word of God. I'm not on board when somebody begins to question God. I'm definitely not on board when somebody begins to question the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross and what he has given so freely and so lovingly to the world. I'm not on board with that. So he is teaching. So what's the setting? You have Pharisees there that should be disciples of Jesus Christ. They should be listening to what he's saying, but he says, you're not going to listen to me, but I'm going to give you a truth. And he says this in verse 40, the disciple is not above his master. I was in martial arts for a number of years. That's one of the things that was taught consistently in a physical way. You're not above the instructor. If not, you're on the mat. You got mat session with the instructor. And it was taught through whatever ways you thought you were good at. And generally, it always ended with somebody tapping out, crying, or whimpering off in the corner. But you'll find in life, you can't really teach that spiritually. But here, this is what Christ is saying. You're not above the master. And you're here, we're here to learn from God, from the Word of God. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. That master is to duplicate himself in that disciple. So you say, what are you saying? I'm saying here, this brings up a point that is very important. I'm going to say this about a hypocrite. Not only are they blind, willfully blind, but a hypocrite, they are proud. They are proud. The Bible goes on to say, doting about nothing, not knowing anything. They want to have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. They're a hypocrite. A hypocrite is proud. You know something that will keep you from reaching the lost? Something that will keep you from reaching your co-worker for Christ? Pride. Pride will keep you from reaching it. It's belittle, it's below you to share the gospel to somebody. Maybe a family member. Maybe just handing a gospel tract a little evangelistically to somebody you don't even know. Pride keeps you from doing that. And I'm saying, as Scripture is stating here, look, the disciple is not above the master. If our master, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, was willing to go to the cross, was willing to give his time, was willing to go out of his way for blind Bartimaeus, was willing to go out of his way to the woman at the well, was willing to go out of his way to the people in Samaria, and on and on and on, we're not above our master. But man, we live our lives as dear children of God in kind of a sense or a form of hypocrisy. We're just dealing with the dangers of hypocrisy this morning. Willful blindness, prideful. Let me say this about this point, that hypocrites are proud. They're not willing to learn. The false teachers of whom Jesus was speaking here in our text should have been learning from him or at his feet learning. These Pharisees were unwilling to learn from Jesus. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says or Scripture says to those that that are in disarray or in a poor position, if you please. And it's because of pride. It's because of pride. Hebrews chapter 5. If you notice with me, and I want verses 12 through 14. Dealing with pride, having a willingness to want to learn. Now watch verse 12. Well, I think I know something. I think I know more than you. Somebody had told me it's like thoughts of grandeur. You have a higher value or higher value of yourself than other people. A lot of us get in that position as Christians. Not just towards the lost. I'm kind of pushing this towards lost people, but you'll have towards one another. Pride. Watch what the Bible says about this type of position. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, amen, you have a position of being a teacher, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now watch as he moves on. For everyone that useth milk, he's speaking of the word and the words of God. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a, say it with me, babe. Now watch verse 14. But strong meat belongeth. This is probably along the lines of little strong meat this morning, dealing with hypocrites and then telling everybody we all have some hypocrisy in us. It's true, but sometimes it's hard to get it put out in a positive light. Here's what he's saying, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This morning, are you able to discern? Are you able to discern maybe the danger of pride in your Christian life? The danger of pride that keeps you from sharing the gospel or the good news with a lost person. And so we see here that a hypocrite has not only blindness, willful blindness, but he also aids in the blindness of Satan. And secondly, we see a hypocrite has some pride. And the Pharisees back in Luke, now if you're reading and you stay in context, the Pharisees indeed had plenty of pride, because the first thing they want to bring up is, well, we're of the seed of Abraham, where they positionally put themselves in a position above everybody else. And Christ shoots that down. But he is teaching here that a hypocrite has a problem with pride. Well, there's a third one. I need to get on. I'm about out of time. Let's go back to Luke. And notice with me now two verses, 41 and 42. And we'll draw our third application here from this morning. The dangers of hypocrisy. You say, well, man, I think I have more hypocrisy in me than what I realize. Look, if you're not advantageous about going for God, sharing the gospel in the light of the word of God, then there is a problem. You willfully choosing not to, First problem. Second one is going to be pride. I'm just not going to belittle myself. Let's look at the next one. Let's see. He's tightening down. I like saying this. Jesus Christ is the one who's writing this down. Watch what he says in verse 41. Now, Luke chapter 6, look at verse 41. And he says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Good question. Either, how canst thou say to thy brother, "Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye"? Have you ever had that happen to you? let me give you some constructive criticism, and some of it's good, some of it's needed. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time and place for it, amen, especially teacher-student situation, but there'll always be a brother or sister about. And if you can't think in the spiritual realm, which is okay, think in the physical. You got a brother or sister, if you do, they're always, oh man, they know your faults, they know your weaknesses, they know your down settings and your uprisings, your siblings. Don't, all my siblings are liars. I got to get that said first. No, they're not. It ups your prayer life. But siblings will tell on you. They'll rat you out. Oh, no. Don't trust him. Don't trust her. Well, here, notice what the Lord is saying about a brother. Okay, now he's saying this. He says, look, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye. When thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Then he goes on, thou hypocrite. This is where we get the word for the day. The dangers of being a hypocrite. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Very careful where you go to pull out that beam in your brother's eye. Let's check self first. You say, what are you drawing? The third application is a hypocrite, or hypocrites are judgmental. A hypocrite is judgmental. Now, you got to make judgment calls. You might even have a profession where you have to make a split-decision judgment call. Nothing wrong. I'm not speaking in that context. I'm talking in a context where you're analyzing a brother or sister, and you begin to critically audit what they say, don't say, do, don't do, how they do something, how they don't do something. Be careful. Be careful. A hypocrite, they're definitely true in verse 41 and 42, are judgmental. Often those who are hypocritical are very judgmental towards others. You say, how do you get that? Well, look at verse 42, and there's a word here that helps me to identify that thought in the verse. And he says here, when thou, I'm in the middle of verse 42, when thou thyself, what's that word there? Beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye. This individual, if you please, hypocrite, is not only proud, not only willfully blind, but is also going to be judgmental, beholdest. I'm thinking of the verse, I can't quote it, but it's in James, and we do have time to run over there. James, if you turn with me, James chapter 1, I believe it's verse 25. James is in between Hebrews and Peter. James chapter 1 and verse 25, the Bible says this, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This speaks of somebody who is willfully going to the word to take out the mote or the beam in their own eye. Look, if your first precedent is to look at the beam in your brother or sister's eye, I would say you have a flavor of a hypocrisy more than a flavor of a true blue person who wants to be molded and yielded by God's word. So here James is saying in verse 25 of chapter 1, a person who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continue in that liberty, and what he learns and what he sees from the Word of God, is somebody who's going to be blessed. It's not going to have trouble, as you find over here in Luke chapter 6, about verse 41 and 42. Let me say this. The only way to see a true picture of yourself is through the lens of God's Word. You could have a very good friend, and you could be very close enough to where you could receive criticism of some sort to help curb or change the things in your life, whatever you're doing. You could have a sibling, you can have a parent, a guardian, whatever it is, but there is nothing like the perfect law of liberty, God's word, to show a man to see the beam or the mote in your eye. And it should bring you to a point of humbleness, a point of maybe some grace. And I'm speaking again in the context of saved people. I want to turn to Romans, Romans chapter 2. I should have put this fully in my notes, but I just have the address. Romans chapter 2, there's a verse here I want to end with this morning. Romans chapter 2, I'm speaking this morning of the dangers of hypocrisy. Be careful of willful blindness. I'm choosing not to be taught from the Word of God. I'm choosing not to share the gospel of the good news with the lost. And you'll find that a danger, a second danger of hypocrisy is pride. And that's something we all have, and we let it germinate and begin to develop, you end up with a lot of trouble. It generally, pride is something that produces itself in other people around you. If you have children, be careful. I remember my parents saying, well, wait till you grow up. You really get a good look at yourself with your children if you have children. And that's no true words have been said. And so here, it's the same thing for the Christian, the child of God. I'm saying, secondly, proud or being proud, having pride in your life, let me say it this way, is a danger to the things of God, to yourself and to others around you. Thirdly, we're wrapping up this judgmental. To have hypocrisy, you'll find yourself being judgmental, very judgy. Right, so here we go. Romans chapter 2. Notice what the Bible says in verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Kind of goes with what Matthew says. Judge not, lest ye be judged by the same judgment. People kind of take half of that and say, judge not. You're not supposed to judge. That's not what the Bible's teaching. If you don't want to be judged, don't be judging, because you know what'll happen. You begin to judge, people begin to judge you, generally by the same judgment you've meted out. That's what the Bible teaches. And he says here, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. There's none of us above another. The disciple is not above the master. And so Christ is saying, look, you're making judgment calls that you should not be making, and you're making them in the mode of blindness, and you're making them in the mode of pride. You see, if you're in one of those two modes, blindness or pride, you won't have a right judgment. If you're in the mode of blindness and pride, you won't want to reach the lost. Amen. That's good preaching. If you're in the mode of pride and blindness in your Christian life, there's a lot of stuff that you won't have a heart or desire to do for God at all. And so Christ here, you say, well, what about the Pharisees? Yeah, I could answer that. It's pretty self-evident. But what about us? The Pharisees didn't listen. They didn't listen. Ultimately, the chief priests and those religious leaders said, crucify him. That's what they said. They didn't want none of his teaching at all. They still don't want any of his teaching. And guess what? That same spirit, amen, that danger of hypocrisy is still rampant in Christians today. This morning, what is your decision? Let's all stand. The dangers of hypocrisy. Am I willfully blind? Do I have pride rampant in my life? And you notice, yeah, I seem to be more of a judgmental type person. I audit rather than take in. That's why I come to church. I audit what the singers sing about, how they look. I audit what the teacher teaches on. I audit what the pastor preaches on. How good, how well, how poor. Just remember that judgment. God said that's not a wise position, it's a foolish position. My thought this morning is, if there is hypocrisy tendencies, if there is more of a flavor of pride and blindness and judgmental, get rid of it. Let it go. Get rid of it. This morning, do business with God as He has His way. We're going to get ready for a baptismal. I'm going to ask Brother Tom if you would come and help me with this. And Miss Hope, if you would come forward, we're going to do a baptismal in a few moments.